I want to encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read verses 5 through 7 with you this morning, and then I'm going to pull out an illustration that I hope will be helpful to us as we consider these verses of Scripture of having the same mind as Christ. And I've entitled this message, Pulling on God's End of the Rope. Pulling on God's end of the rope. Let's begin reading, please, at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the testimony of your word and how it speaks to our heart thousands of years after it was first recorded for us. Your revelation is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even to soul and spirit. We pray, dear Father, that you might do that today in our hearts and lives as we consider this truth of pulling on the same end of the rope with thee. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last week, I made an allusion to this particular passage of Scripture as we were dealing with the first four verses of Scripture here in Philippians chapter 2. And I said, I think I'm going to bring along the old tug-of-war rope that I bought many, many years ago. I've had it down at the gymnasium facility for many, many years. Brother Patrick said, are we going to have a tug of war or are we going to have a hanging? And Dr. Watt said, I'm glad I'm not preaching because I'm afraid there'd be a hanging take place or whatever. But this is an old tug of war. I bought this in 1992. And the reason I remember that, it was the first year of our soccer program and I got married that year. So I have two things to remember along with the year that I bought this rope. And I didn't buy it with any relationship to our marriage. This was for the school and for activities and so forth like that. But it's a big old tug of war. It's got two big loops on the very end. And as a kid, I loved playing tug of war, and I'm sure some of you have enjoyed playing that game. I always like to be on the winning side, though. How about you? I was never asked as I was growing up to be the anchor. Because I'm not a very big person, and at that time I was so small that whenever the rope got taut, I was hanging from it like this up in the air because I didn't have any weight. But we always got the biggest guy to be the anchor. Now, can I say something right now? I think you know where I'm going with this. Who's the biggest one in the universe? He's our anchor. He's our anchor. I want to be pulling on his side of the rope. But do you realize and know that there are a lot of people that think they're pulling on God's side of the rope, but instead, they're somewhere down here. I don't even know if I can unravel this thing. Some of them may be in the middle. Now, this is a marker that somebody put on here. It's kind of slid down a little bit from where it was, but it's supposed to mark the middle, and you're supposed to take this over the line. Have you ever seen anybody pulling like this? Now, if somebody does that, somebody walks over and says, would you please let go of the rope? You're not helping anybody. And then there are people that are down here on this end of the rope. Now, when you're on this end of the rope, are you on that end of the rope? Okay, now, you say, that's pretty evident, Pastor Brown. I'm a simple person. I'm a simple person. But I also know that some people think it's absolutely possible to be pulling on both ends of the rope. And I'm here to tell you, it's not. This passage of Scripture is leading up to chapter 4, where some tension is exposed inside the church at Philippi. Not everybody was pulling on God's end of the rope. Some of them had taken up this end of the rope. God's over on that end of the rope, and they're pulling their way, and God's pulling His way. Now, let me ask you something. Who's going to win? God Almighty is going to win. God is the anchor on His side of the rope, and He's not giving up any territory. I remember many, many years ago using this very rope. We had a rather large middle schooler. And we had a tug of war. We had the teams all divided up. And they said, "We want you to be the anchor," talking to the boy. "I don't want to be the anchor. I'm always the anchor. I want to be up there in the front pulling. But you don't understand. We need you to be our anchor. We want to win. I'm not going to be the anchor. I'm going to pull." It was so fun to watch as his end of the line got closer and closer and closer to crossing over the line. And they lost. Everybody was upset with him. "Every time we win, when you're the anchor. But this time you didn't want to be the anchor. You wanted to be up there on the rope." He said, "I thought my arms were stronger." They weren't. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When God is the anchor, He never gives up any territory. And instead, He takes territory going the other way. Because if He decides to go that way, that's the way we're going to go. And you can pull and tug and fight with all your strength and with all your energy, doing your own thing, going your own way. But I know the one to whom we're going to have to bow the knee someday. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the Greek word, kurios is the word that's used there. Kurios means master. All right? Master. He is the one that is going to win. And no matter what challenge you may mount, and even though Satan pulls against the Lord, he's a defeated creature because Jesus Christ took care of him on the cross. But sometimes even within the church, there are struggles and conflicts where people leave God's end of the rope and they get down here on the other end and they start pulling and tugging, going another direction. And what does that create within God's church? It creates problems. It creates struggles. I'm going to show you from God's Word. I'm just going to throw this down here. I brought this along for the kids. I know Benaiah was eyeballing it. He came up and looked at it, and I think he wanted to take off with it down the aisle. I'm glad he didn't, because I was afraid to get tangled up in it. But I'm going to make a point this morning about pulling on God's end of the rope. Number one, I want you to see that at God's end of the rope, Christ Jesus is the submissive sovereign, the anchor who never gives any ground. And we get this here in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you." All right. What is the mind? What am I to anchor to? Well, who is said here? "Which also is in Christ Jesus." We're told that Christ Jesus is the anchor on God's end of the rope. Do I hear an amen? Jesus Christ is the anchor on God's end of the rope. It's interesting to me that in this passage of Scripture, Paul uses the phrase, "Christ Jesus." It's on purpose. Let me share with you what has been said about this. There have been individuals who have written on this particular subject, and W.E. Vine, whose Vine's Word Studies of the New Testament has been a staple for Christians throughout the years for understanding the Greek language and words that are used. But he points out that the order of the names and titles of the Lord is always a matter of precision in the New Testament. Christ Jesus places the emphasis on the exalted one who made himself of no reputation. Christ Jesus. He writes, "Jesus Christ describes the despised and rejected one who was afterwards glorified." We find that in Philippians 2 and verse 11, where you'll see that, where it says Jesus Christ. All right? The one who was brought to the depths of humanity, yet without sin, who is now the exalted one. Paul, who met Jesus out of season, calls him most often in his epistles Christ Jesus, because he met Christ first and was made aware of Jesus and the atoning work that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. His experience was reversed from the disciples, who knew Jesus first, and then he became Christ, the Messiah. That is, he went to the cross of Calvary as the Messiah and bore our sins in his body on the tree. That is the picture that's given to us. Hadley Mole, who was a great expositor of the 1800s, wrote this about this verse: "This is the most conspicuous and magnificent of the dogmatic utterances of the New Testament. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ, the submissive sovereign, Christ Jesus. Christ, the God, the Son of God. Jesus, the human name. We call that in theology the hypostatic union, divinity and humanity in one. That is the picture of Jesus Christ, and He is the anchor of the rope. I'm so thankful no one else is. I'm so thankful that it's not somebody else that we're trusting in this morning. You know, all the religious groups in the world have somebody that they put as their sovereign. Somebody. You've got Buddha. You've got in Hinduism, you've got karma, the concept of karma. You've got Confucianism, which is that all nature is God. You've got all of these images that are put up as being their sovereign. But I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ isn't the anchor of your soul, you're in trouble this morning. You're in deep trouble. You need to go to the one that is the anchor of God's rope, and that's Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 5. But I want you to see something else too in this passage. And that is this: at the end of God's rope, Christ Jesus is the sent Son seeking for you. He is the sent Son seeking for you. Look at verse 6, please, in this passage. Who, being in the morphe form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let me read from the Amplified Bible. Who, although he existed in the form and unchanging essence of God, as one with him, possessing the fullness of all the divine attributes, the entire nature of deity, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped or asserted, as if he did not already possess it or was afraid of losing it. In other words, the point is this: Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, is God. But he set aside the prerogatives of his godhood, his deity. Now get this, he didn't set aside his deity. He didn't set aside his godhood. He set aside the prerogatives of that deity. And he became human so he could deal with your sin and my sin. Amen? That's what it's saying there. He became human. He set aside the prerogatives of his deity, the prerogatives of his power and might, and he demonstrated them on occasion. He demonstrated. He turned the water into wine, his first miracle. Can you do that? I sure can. They came to Mary and they said, "Mary, we're without wine." And so she went to Jesus. And she said, "Jesus, they're without wine. What can we do?" Jesus basically, "Why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "Bring me a container of water." And when they pulled the lid off and began to dip inside of it, it wasn't water anymore, it was wine. It was wine, and it was the best wine. It wasn't like what they were drinking before. This was heavenly wine. And they were all commenting, said, "Why did you wait till now to bring out the good stuff?" Okay? Now, it wasn't Chris Whitney. Chris Whitney would have used up all the inexpensive stuff first and then brought out the good stuff afterwards. Right, Chris? We like to joke about that. But you know what? They brought out the good wine that was made by Jesus Christ. He set aside the prerogatives of his deity so that he could become flesh and dwell among us. And in his body bear our sins. He is the sent Son. And you know what He's doing? He came here not to make a name for Himself, but to become of no reputation. Why? So He could help lost sinners like you and me. I want to tell you something, folks. We need help. We need help. This election is telling us more and more about the fabric of America, that it's made up with people that are confused and they're angry and they're trying to find answers and they're grasping at just about anything they can grasp at to try to find some kind of an answer to all the problems of life, whether it's health care, racial disparity, go down the long list that we hear about all the time in the media, and everything that they grasp for never solves the problem. Never solves the problem. Politicians have been promising for generations that they're going to deal with all the problems that we're going, but they can't find an answer. You know why? They're looking in all the wrong places. The only answer is Jesus Christ, the sent Son. And you know what He's doing this morning? He's seeking for you. He's seeking for me. The Lord came to seek and to save those that are lost. You know what, though? You have to admit that you're lost. It's hard to do that, especially guys. Not so much anymore because we've got GPS we can depend on. We can turn on the GPS and we can go find whatever we're looking for. Have you ever turned it off, though, fellas, and said, I don't need GPS. I can find this without it. I did that one time. Not too long ago, the fellow that does the repair work on our bounce houses in the gymnasium lives over in Panama City. And I said, I think I know, not too far from Lynn Haven, I think I know where he lives or what part of the thing. So I said, I'm going to make it without GPS. Guess what? All right. I was in the general area, but I couldn't find it. So I had to turn on my GPS, said, you are here, and he is there. And I had to follow my GPS. I didn't bring a map. I grew up in a time where we used big maps and atlases. All right, I remember my fourth grade Florida project. I got me a brand new Florida map. I was so proud of it. 1974. Anybody remember? Anybody alive back then? Yeah, a few of you. 1974 Atlas of Florida. Boy, it had Walt Disney World on there. It had all the big things that were part of that map there, and I showed it with pride. And after the fourth grade Florida report, I said, Dad, do you want my map? And Dad said, I don't need your map. I know Florida. Dad rarely used a map, except in the times when we were going to campgrounds, and he always gave it to Mom. Okay, Mom was the one that had to be the map reader. And any time they made a wrong turn, guess who got blamed? Okay? I'm not attacking my dad here because I've done the same thing, you know. Why are we here? You're not working the GPS right. Like my wife could work the GPS. I mean, we don't do that. That's done by the satellite, all right? But I remember those old maps, and we would unfold them, and they would be spread from one door to the other in the cab of the pickup truck as we were sitting on the side. And we were sitting in the very back of the truck. We had mattresses back there. We had a Gold Crown camper on the back. And we'd be looking through the window. And we could see, no, I think it's here. No, I think it's this road over here. And we were trying to figure out where we were going to go with this big, huge map. And then we never folded it up right. That map had more creases in it. How many of you remember doing that? Never did we get it back the same. You'd fold it up and the picture was on the inside. No, the picture is supposed to be on the outside. Take it back and do that. Sometimes my dad would get frustrated and he'd come back, open the back of the camper, throw the map in there, and said, you kids figure it out. We'd sit back there trying to figure out the creases and so forth like that, trying to get the map back together. I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus can find every sinner who calls upon His name. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. As the anchor of the rope, God's rope, He'll find everyone who's lost, who will cry out and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to take you to the third factor about this rope that you need to get a hold of. And it's this: at the end of God's rope, Christ Jesus is the serving Son working for us. Working for us. Just like that big boy on the end of the rope, puts the rope around him, and he's ready to go. I don't even know if I can find it here. Here we go. He puts the rope around him. If I can get this on. All right. Maybe I'm not going to be able to get this off. I don't know. He got the rope on. I'm the anchor. Now what's my job as the anchor? Don't give any territory and win the tug of war. Don't give any territory and win. Now, what does the anchor do? They just stand there. Now, there have been some big boys that could stand there, and that was all that happened. But they didn't bring the line back because he wasn't moving. The Lord Jesus Christ is our anchor, and he's working for us. I'm so tired of Christians whining.
Why did God let this happen to me? Why did God let this happen? I don't want this to happen, and God's letting it happen. Whine, whine, whine. I want to tell you something about God. He's working for you.
He's holding his end of the rope. What are you doing? Are you pulling on the wrong end? Are you in the middle holding on both sides of the center? You're not doing anything. You get on his end because he's working for you. I want you to note this, please. Let's go to verse 7 in our passage. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the morphe, the form of a what, folks? Servant. Thank you. Thank you. You just said that word. What does a servant do? They work. They work. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the serving Son who's working as our anchor. And he's not going to let you slip away. I love the picture in John chapter 10 of the believer that's in the hand of God, and then it's pictured that Jesus Christ puts his hand on top of us. We're completely and fully sealed, and the devil can't get us. And he's going to make sure that he wins the tug of war. Sometimes we get a little unsure about that, don't we? Well, we see what's happening in our world. We see what's happening in our society. We see the loss of liberties that we are witnessing. And we begin to wonder, who's going to win? I'm going to tell you who's going to win. The anchor, Jesus Christ, is going to win. I want to take you to the final and fourth point here. And it is this. At the end of God's rope, Christ Jesus is the sole Savior pulling for you. Now I want you to get this. He's the only one pulling for you. You might think that the devil's pulling for you. You might think that your friends are pulling for you. But I've learned a lot over the years. And I've been disappointed many, many times. People that I thought were pulling on the same end of the rope found out they were on the other end. That could be pretty disappointing. But then you look up and you see the anchor, the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't changed. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He hasn't dropped his end and run down to the other one. He hasn't pulled out of the anchor spot and walked down a little bit further and grabbed a hold of the rope. No. He is the anchor, the soul Savior, and he's pulling for us. I know who's going to win. I know who's won. The whole remaining deficit of history is in his control. Everything that's left of history is in his control. And I want you to see this pictured in the final verse here, verse 7, the last part of the phrase. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what that accomplished? That won the battle over Satan. That tells me who's going to win the tug of war. And though the whole earth tug against the God of the universe, they have no strength. They have no strength. I want you to understand something, folks. It's your responsibility and it's my responsibility to ask myself the question, am I tugging with God or am I pulling against Him? If you look over at chapter 4 for just a moment, please, I want you to see an example within the church where they weren't pulling together. Verse 2, well, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, these were two ladies. Two ladies that didn't have the same mind. Now, what does it mean to not have the same mind? Well, let's put it in simple terms. It means that one of them was pulling this way. And the other one, I'm going to have this thing so tangled up. One pulling that way, and the other one pull this way. I told you I'm a simple person, but I hope I can embed in your hearts and minds, boys and girls, teenagers, what He's talking about here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You two ladies, I want you to have the same mind. Whose mind? Christ Jesus, the sovereign Savior. But here they were. They had their own rope. You know, you can have your own rope. You can let go of God's and you start pulling on your own rope. I don't want to be on this one anymore. So you had one lady on one side and one lady on the other, and they were just pulling, pulling, pulling against each other. And who was being hurt? They were, and the church. They weren't pulling on God's end of the rope. And so the Apostle Paul goes to them and said, ladies, let me have your attention for just a moment. I want you both to have the same mind, but I want you to have Christ's mind. It's not good enough for y'all to decide on what mind you're going to be. You've got to decide on Christ's mind. And you need to go down with Him. He's the anchor. And you need to get a hold of that rope and you need to pull in the same direction. Every local church faces this. I've spoken to a lot of pastors over the years. Not too long ago, I spoke to a pastor up in Minnesota. Received the projector and he called and he said, I just want to thank you for the projector. Would you pray for me? We're going through a church split. And I said, what happened? He said, we got an element in the church and they didn't like the preaching of God's Word, and so they tried to stir up a bunch of people, and now they've left the church, and I'm trying to piece together what's left. And this is what he told me. He said, we weren't pulling the same direction. We weren't pulling the same direction. The greatest enemy of a local church is selfishness. Selfishness. I'm going this way. Who's going to join me? Well, wait a minute. Where are we told to join somebody else? We're supposed to be pulling on God's end of the rope. And some people say, you know what? I don't like you being the anchor anymore. I'm going to take that over. You just lost the race then. You lost the tug of war. Jesus Christ is the only anchor, the sole anchor. And my job is to quit myself. And I'm to grab a hold of the end of the rope that He's on and I'm to pull with Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Would you bow your heads, please? In this moment of silence, I want you to examine your heart. I want you to picture yourself. I've got this rope laid up here on the floor. I want you to picture yourself and ask yourself the question, am I pulling on Christ's end of the rope, or am I pulling in another direction? Maybe you've got a lot of issues going on in your life right now. Maybe you're blaming God for all kinds of sorrow and difficulty and things that are happening in your life, and God's the easy target. It's His fault. You know what you're admitting? you're pulling on the wrong end of the rope. You're not pulling with him, you're pulling against him. Because you're accusing him of not being a good anchor. And he is the sovereign soul anchor of every believer's soul. And you're accusing him of wrongdoing. Now think about that for just a moment. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that's pretty foolish. In our limited capacity as human beings, we're accusing the God of the universe of being unfaithful as an anchor. Would you cry out to him this morning? And would you tell him, Lord, I'm going to stop pulling against you. I'm going to start pulling with you. Lord, I want your mind. Now understand what that means. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? It means you get your heart and mind out of this world and you get it in the Word of God. And you let the Word of God expose all of your frailties, all of your weaknesses, all of your wrongheadedness, your stubbornness, selfishness. Lord, expose all of that so I can pull effectively on your end of the rope. Can you do that this morning? I don't know your heart. I know my heart, though. I know the weaknesses and the frailties and the stubbornness that's in my own heart. So I would imagine that we all have those same propensities. And I pray this morning that we would get right with God and that we would all be found on Christ's end of the rope, pulling for His glory and for His honor against the devil, against the world, against the flesh. Father, I thank You so much for this time together. Lord, in the simplest way I know how, I've tried to communicate this passage of Scripture that Jesus Christ came as the anchor of Your rope, pulling for us as lost sinners to deliver us from our sin because of the atoning work on Calvary's tree. That was accomplished by Jesus Christ and none other. But Lord, so many times we find ourselves in the center of the rope or on the wrong end of the rope, pulling against the one that we ought to be pulling with. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction this morning. Maybe there's a child that's here, maybe a teenager, maybe an adult, been pulling on the wrong end of the rope. I pray that this morning they'd get it right with God. I'm going to give you just a few moments, dear people. The front pews here are empty. If you need to get alone with God, would you come and just kneel down and just ask God to cleanse you of your sin and pick up the right end of the rope? Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor Brainerd, that's me? You've described me this morning. Would you get it right with God? You don't have to come forward. But sometimes it makes it a little more permanent in our thinking when we're willing to get up from our seat and come get it straightened out, taken care of. Father in heaven, You know every heart. You know every desire. You know every ambition. You know the reality of our person. I pray that You would do a mighty work this morning in hearts and do a mighty work in my heart, Father. I'm not exempt. I'm just as guilty as anybody else of being stubborn and selfish and pulling my own end of the rope instead of pulling on Yours. Father, forgive me. Help me to do what's right and lead these people aright, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.